In our last study, we witnessed one of the most awesome wars of all time. It took place in heaven. On one side was Michael and his angels. On the other side was the devil and his demons. Michael won, and the devil was cast out of heaven with all of his demons. Having been defeated in heaven, the devil's determined to defeat the program and people of God on earth. But he's a spirit being. He must have men and women. He can't work without them. He must have their personalities and passions. In the 13th chapter of Revelation, we see him embodying himself into men to do and to get what he wants. He knows his time is short, so we see him working fast and furious in this chapter. Through whom does he work in Revelation 13? Two beasts. Are they animals? Oh no, men. But they're called beasts because of their cunning and cruelty. Christ is the light of the world. Christians are lights, but they're in heaven. So there's deep darkness on the earth. Without the Spirit of Christ and the salt of Christians, there's nothing to prevent the spread of corruption. In our day, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against him. But there'll be no standard raised against him in chapter 13. Demonism will dominate the world, and there'll be wickedness and woe, the worst the world will ever know. Just as God has a Trinity for good, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, so the devil has a Trinity for evil, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Let's meet them. The first one to be introduced to us is the beast. We look at the wonderment. Verses 1 and 2, And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. Where is he standing? The sand of the sea. The sand signifies a congested crowd more than can be counted. The sea signifies a restless raging, restless, nervous, feverish, terribly turbulent. What does John see as he watches the storm? The appearance of a beast. Who is he? What does he have? Seven heads, 10 crowns, 10 horns. The seven heads speak of wisdom. The 10 horns speak of a confederation of power. And the 10 crowns speak of authority. The restless world will be crying for a leader of wisdom, power, and skill who'll solve their problems, unite their countries, and bring about peace, prosperity, and pleasure. This is he. What's written on their heads? Blasphemous names that defy and insult God. Let's look a little closer at the political ruler. In verse 2, he looks like a leopard, but he has the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. This is speaking of the revived Roman Empire. This political leader of the revived Roman Empire will have the rapaciousness of a lion, the crushing power of a bear, and the swiftness of a leopard. In the 7th chapter of Daniel, verses 2-9, the successive world empires are described by the lion, referring to Babylon, the bear, referring to Medo-Persia, and the leopard, referring to the Alexandrian Empire. This empire gathers all these characteristics into itself. It's more dreadful in might and mischief. One day, the devil offered Jesus the world with all of its gold and glory, people and power. But Jesus turned him down, not this man. He accepted it. Being embodied by the devil, he'll be a genius when it comes to magnetism and might, sense and skill, achievement and acclaim, charm and cunning. There has never been an Abel without a Cain, a Jerusalem without a Babylon, a Paul without a Nero, a Christ without a devil. This man will be dominated by the devil, and he'll reign during the tribulation period. This man is called by various names in the Bible: the vile person, the willful king, the little horn. He's seen in Daniel 7:8 as the little horn who subdues the 10 kings because he's given power by the devil. He'll be the one who'll wage war against the saints during the tribulation period. We saw the wonderment. Now let's see the wound in verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wandered after the beast. This wound is mentioned 3 times in this chapter, in verses 3, 12, and 14. Some see in this beast Judas. Why? He's called the son of perdition in John 17:2, and this beast is called the son of perdition in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Jesus called Judas a devil, and the Bible says that Satan entered into him. However, I can't see the devil having the power of life when Jesus says, "I am the life." The devil's power is great, but not this great. Of what then does this verse refer to? The Roman Empire. After the death of Christ, the Roman Empire continued in existence for about 500 years. Then it was divided and finally destroyed by the invaders from the north and east. Though it was broken in pieces, Roman principles prevailed. They became the basis of our civilization. During the Second World War, all of the countries of that old empire were together as allies, with the exception of China, Japan, and other heathen nations. On the other side were the Goths, members of the Teutonic race, Vandals, members of the Germanic tribe, and the Huns, members of the warlike Asiatic people. In the 4th, 5th and 6th centuries, they destroyed the Roman Empire. For about 900 years, the Roman Empire was something to be reckoned with. Then the beast was wounded to death. Right now, we're witnessing a revival of the Roman Empire, a confederation of nations, and the man at the helm will be dominated by the devil. Oh, he'll be brainy, brilliant, but blasphemous. My friend, choose your leader. Which will it be, the Savior or Satan, the Antichrist or the Christ? Where do you want to spend eternity, in heaven or hell? It's your move. Choose the Savior. Choose Christ and his heaven, won't you?